thinking about how long ago can you re-preach a sermon? I found this sermon, and I thought, I think this one's okay. Although I will admit that Julia has heard it twice, and Sarah three times. Julia was 3 months and 15 months old when she heard this. So I think I can re-preach it for her at this point. I want to talk today about the idea of casual worship. You know, worship of God has become a casual event in many congregations and popular denominations. Advertisements even promote casual worship services. I've seen billboards in the past that say, "Come as you are." And, you know, what's implied by their radio advertisement is, "Come as you are and stay as you are." I've also seen a billboard that says, "It's not your parents' church, it's your church." And the knowledge of true meaning in worship is slowly being lost to the going to church type definitions. And so what do I mean by going to church type definitions? Let's just see what the definition of church is today in the American Heritage Dictionary. The definition of church: a building for public, especially Christian worship. Often related to church can be known as the body of all Christians, regarded as a spiritual body, a specified Christian denomination, such as the Presbyterian Church, a congregation, also defined as public divine worship in a church, a religious service, goes to church at Christmas and Easter. The clerical profession or clergy, and ecclesiastical power as distinguished from the secular, the separation of church and state. And so in there, there's several definitions that are used by many people, especially when we're talking about the building. So many times, the building is referred to as the church. And it's kind of humorous in that, at least I, and I know several other people, try to be careful not to refer to this building as the church. And it's come to be known as the building. And my brother-in-law one time was talking to someone, and he said, "Yeah, my dad's at the building." And he was talking to somebody outside of the local congregation, and he said, "Oh, the building. Which building is that?" And it's just kind of humorous. But this building is not the church. There were in this definition two things that I thought were scriptural definitions. The company of all Christians regarded as spiritual body. We can see that in Acts 2 verse 47, that definition. We can also see in Acts 13 verse 1 that the church is referred to as a congregation or a gathering of people. So when we think about church, just as the church has become to many as the building, worship is becoming something that is done to and for the attendants, meaning that they are rendered the service of having gone to worship services. And you know, that really became prevalent to me one time when I heard somebody talking about how church is something that we are supposed to be able to go to and feel good after having been there. And yes, that's true, but in the context of this person's comment, they were talking about, I should be able to go to worship services, sit there in the pew, and be rendered the service, and go home feeling better about yourself. And that is simply not what worship is. Our topic today is about our attitude toward worship, specifically how we worship during the planned assemblies of the saints. And so let's look at the definition, or I guess listen to the definition of worship. And here, the noun version from the American Heritage Dictionary: ardent devotion or adoration. And from Webster's 1828 dictionary, the verb version, to adore, to pay divine honors to reverence with supreme respect and veneration. That idea of supreme respect and veneration, to pay divine honors to, that's really what I want us to think about as we go through the study today. And what I want us to focus on also is, have we become tainted by the casual attitude heresy? We're going to look into what it means to be casual in worship. We're going to do that by looking at the definition of the church and worship, and as it applies to the definition of casual. So the definition of casual, again, from the American Heritage Dictionary, and I'll just read through these quickly: occurring by chance, occurring at irregular or infrequent intervals, occasional, unpremeditated, offhand, being without ceremony or formality, relaxed, suited for everyday wear or use, informal, showing little interest or concern, nonchalant, lenient, permissive, not serious or thorough, superficial, not close or intimate, passing, happening by chance, fortuitous, such as a casual meeting, without definitive or serious intention, careless or offhand, passing, such as a casual remark, seeming or tending to be indifferent to what is happening, apathetic, unconcerned, appropriate for wear or for use on informal occasions, not dressy, irregular, occasional, accidental. And so let's think about these definitions as it relates to our worship service. The idea of occurring by chance. Here the idea is not, you know, I was thinking about this, occurring by chance. And the idea of something that occurs by chance and us noticing the glory of God and giving God the glory is a great thing. But that's not the idea of this definition of casual. Occurring by chance here is more accidental. I'm going to accidentally fall into worshiping God. That is impossible to do. It is impossible to worship God by accident. God has specific demands that are to be met. You know, I think we can understand that sometimes even going through the motions of something is not adequate. Think about, we talked about it briefly in Bible class this morning, but Matthew 7, 21 through 23. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And so here we have people who were doing the right external acts that should be pleasing in their minds to God, but he says, you weren't doing my will. And so when we think about the idea of occurring by accident, accidental chance, that is certainly not a way that we are to worship God. Another definition, occurring at irregular or infrequent intervals, occasional. So what about this definition sounds like acceptable worship? That we can just worship God kind of in this whenever we feel like it mode. Now, that actually is a good statement. We should worship God whenever we feel like it. But the idea there is often. What gives anyone the idea that God accepts occasional worship as an acceptable pattern of worship? And there the idea of infrequent worship. Think about it in Acts chapter 2, where we see the church established. Was that the example that we want to use to say, you know, occasional or infrequent intervals is acceptable? When they were meeting together in their homes day to day? Or was it the example that we see in Acts chapter 20 where it shows that the Christians met together on the first day of the week? Is that what gives us the idea that irregular or infrequent intervals are acceptable? Perhaps it was our schoolmaster or our tutor, the Old Testament, as Galatians 3:24 talks about the Old Testament. In there, did we see an indication that it was okay to worship God in irregular or infrequent intervals? No, we see very regimented patterns under the old law. We see order of sacrifice and order of various festivals and Sabbaths established under the old law. So God did not accept irregular, infrequent worship under the old law. The first century Christians did not set a pattern of this for us to follow because they knew it was unacceptable, and we should still know it today. What about unpremeditated or offhand? You know, I mentioned earlier about, you know, sometimes we'll see something and it'll just inspire us to say a prayer to God, thanking Him for the beauty of the lay of the land or the color and the fall trees that we can see outside even today. That's not what I'm talking about here. Where do we ever see in the Bible that we can use God as an offhand activity? You know, the idea of, you know what, kids, you know, I just don't have a lot of energy today. And, you know, that get-together that we were thinking about going to at a friend's house, we're not going to do that. You know, I'm tired of watching TV. Why don't we just go to worship services instead? That is the attitude we're thinking about here. Unpremeditated, offhand, rather flippant. What do you think would have happened if some of the Israelites had flippantly decided to go make a sacrifice to God? What would that have been acceptable? You know, what if, you know, Israelites were walking around and they just happen upon a wild ram or goat, and, you know, they said, let's catch that thing, and they caught it, and then they're like, now what are we going to do? Oh, I know, let's take it to the temple or take it to the tabernacle, to the priest, and offer it as a sacrifice to God. Is that what we think would have been acceptable under the old law? I think more we see what's acceptable under the law, old law, with Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, just a reference. We see that Daniel, despite the law that was put into place, continued in his pattern of praying every day at a certain time to God and worshiping God. The pattern that we should emulate is that which Daniel set for us, of that of regular, planned worship to God. What about Paul? When he, in Acts chapter 20, met with the brethren all night, even though he planned to travel the next day. This was a sacrifice he made so that he could be able to worship God and to share and edify with the saints there. Do not get the impression of offhand or flippant worship there. Another one, being without formality or ceremony, relaxed. Now, before we go into talking about worship without any ceremonial formality, let's talk about the extreme of it is all ceremony. It is all formality. And formality in worship can go too far and become rigid and impersonal system, an impersonal system where no one thinks or even comprehends what is going on, but just goes through the motions. You know, there are those services in some of the groups that come together and they call it for worship, and the people are sitting in the audience and none of them speak the language in which the service is being rendered. And it's because of the formality and the rigor that's associated with that. So there can be a certain extreme that is too far. But what if we were to be completely informal and completely relaxed. You know, when I say, you know, let's just have a nice, easy night tonight, what I really mean by that is, let's turn our brains off, let's wear comfortable clothes, and let's sit on the couch, and maybe the TV's on, or maybe just some music is on, and I mean, we're just vegetating. That's when I think of completely informal, completely relaxed. You know, you're sitting on your couch wearing your comfy clothes. You might be watching TV, but if you want to go to sleep, you can go to sleep. That's what golf is made for. You put golf on and you fall asleep. You know, and if you get hungry, you can just get up and grab a bite to eat whenever you want to. You know, there is only one example in the Bible of someone falling asleep in services, and that person died. Just saying. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. It says, let all things be done decently and in order. And so that needs to be our goal when it comes to worship. Let all things be done decently in order. When the saints come together as God's people to worship Him, it is not a relaxed, informal event, nor is it a stressful and filled with mere rituals. It is a planned, organized, and meaning-filled worship of God. Next definition, suited for everyday wear and use, informal. Recall you back to the definition of worship from the 1828 dictionary, and it says to adore, pay divine honors to reverence with supreme respect and veneration. And so I just want to call to your mind the image of, if I tell you to dress respectfully, what image pops into your mind? Is it casual dress or is it something else? And notice I did not say best. I did not say your best dress, but just respectful. Respectful attire. And this is, you know, something that slowly changes over time with society. What is respectful in one society is would be a joke in today's society. If men came in with the powdered wigs, I would have to say, what are you doing? But in a certain time period, that was a sign of respect, a sign of how you should dress. So I'm keeping this a little generic, but just saying, dressing respectfully. And it's all about our attitude. A casual attitude promotes a casual worship. So let's think also now about the next definition. Showing little, and these are definitions of casual again, and we're applying them to worship. Showing little interest or concern, nonchalant. So, seeming or tending to be indifferent to what is happening, apathetic, unconcerned. Let's use an analogy to show this point. What if you were having, or an example, I guess. What if you were having a conversation with someone and they slipped in and out of sleep? It would be a little awkward, wouldn't it? I have had such conversations. Many of us married people have had such conversations in our lives. But it's not respectful, and no one would ever defend it as being respectful. What if the person you were talking to just the whole time, and it's not because they have a speech impediment or anything like that, it's just they don't, you know, they're not really paying you any respect, and they're just kind of, you know, making noise. To act like they're carrying on the conversation. What if they stopped talking abruptly as if more interested in something else? That happens. Now, when I wrote this, it was pre-smartphones, but that happens all the time now. We'll be talking to somebody and their phone will do something. I don't have mine. They'll pull it out and be like, oh yeah, my payment's due for my Discover bill. Blip. While you're talking to them. And, you know, it's amazing if you can catch on fast enough, you can just say anything you want to that person. They will not know it because they are in to their cell phone. So what if, you know, they were smacking their gum between every syllable? They never really gave you their attention because they didn't stop what they were doing. They won't acknowledge your presence. They only look at their feet. They start texting instead of what they're doing. What if they have their children around them, but they're completely out of control, and they won't ask them or instruct them so that they can continue on with their conversation? Would you not characterize these people as apathetic and indifferent toward you and your conversation with them? So why would these behaviors be good enough when we were talking to God in prayer or praising God in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Why would it be good enough for that if it's not good enough for a one-on-one conversation? Clearly, it's not. What about lenient and permissive? You know, there's many different ways that the worship services could be changed because there is not a "thus saith the Lord" in the Bible. The Bible does not say, "Thou shalt not have an organ. Thou shalt not have a juggler when the preacher gets boring. Thou shalt not have all these different things." They're simply, those things are not there. There are instructions there is plenty enough there for us to learn how we should be worshiping. You know, the general idea is that all things should be done decently in an order. For what purpose? I think I'm mixing two passages. But so that the man of God can be fully equipped to serve God. So in our worship services, everything that we do should be bringing glory and honor to God, should be done for the purpose of edification to the saints and the members here. So clearly the juggler would not be bringing glory to God, nor would alterations to our worship service where we do not have authority to do so. You know, there are many things that we can look through to the Scripture to see how it is that we're supposed to worship. We can see the examples that are given in the first century Christians. We know there are things that we are supposed to do by direct command. Jesus told us to partake of the Lord's Supper. You know, the Bible gives us every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, He gives us what we need to have in order to be able to worship God, worship Him acceptably. And I just hearken back to 2 Samuel 7, verse 7, where David had talked to Nathan and said, "I want to build a temple for God." And God responds through Nathan to David and says, "Where did I ever tell you to build me a temple?" And I think about that and I take it to heart when we're thinking about being lenient and permissive in the worship services. I certainly don't want to come before God and Him say to me, "Brian, where did I ever tell you that you should feed all the people during the worship services? Where did I ever tell you that you should worship me with the guitar and with the tambourine and with the drums or whatever musical instrument you want to come up with? Where did I ever tell you to do that?" You know, many question the various practices of our worship services. And I think that is great. I think it's appropriate. And I really think you need to do that. But unfortunately, many seek change without doing any research, any study into the Word of God, any questioning of those who are older or the elders about why things are the way they are. And they seek this change based on their desire for change or based on the desire to be more like other people. Or sometimes just for the sake of throwing off a tradition. But I urge you, have these questions and go to the Scriptures, study for yourself, consult with others who will also consult the scriptures and come to a knowledge of what the truth is through that study. Maybe a change is needed. Maybe we're not in alignment with the Word of God. Maybe there are other acceptable ways in which we can worship. There's certainly other ways that we could lead singing, for example. For those, it was very popular during times where people didn't know how to read, to verse people. The song leader would sing the first verse and the people would come back and sing it because they didn't know the song, and so it's called versing. Certainly an acceptable way to worship God. It would be against our tradition that we hold here, but it's a different and acceptable way to worship. One could also lead without a leader. Sing without a leader. A song that is well known. As long as there's a way to pick it, I'm sure it could be led without a leader. Another definition to think about. Not serious or thorough, superficial. Not serious or thorough, superficial. And I also want to cover the idea of the last one of not close or intimate and passing. So we're to teach the whole counsel of God, not just the easy, fun parts. And yes, there are fun parts to the scripture. How can it not be fun to think about how we have essentially a superhero who fought for us and saved us from a certain death? And that we can spend an eternity with our Savior. But when I think about superficial or superficial worship, it comes to mind that, you know, it's not that close or intimate. It's just something that we do to pass time. Think about your marriage. Think about a marriage that is not serious and it's superficial. It's not close or intimate. When I think about that, I think about, you know, if you just did away with some of the hard things that have to do with marriage, such as chastising each other. Now, I'm not talking about the silly chastising of, you know, I asked you to take out the trash and it's still sitting there. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the deep, insightful chastening that sometimes only your spouse, who truly knows and loves you, can render. It's not fun, but it is done with true, deep love. If your marriage does not have chastening in it, either the two of you are perfect and you have no need for correction, or your love for each other has become superficial. And I think about that as it relates to our worship service and our interaction with our brethren. How true is our love for our brother or our sister if we do not chasten each other when it's needed? You know, how sad it is when we often consider our own comfort above others, not wanting to have an awkward moment with someone. Remember, the parable did not say to remove the plank from your own eye so that you can see how big a mess you are in compared to your brother, or that what a big mess your brother is compared to you. It said to remove the plank so that you can more clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye. We can read that in Matthew 7, the first 5 verses. When has God ever given us only superficial instruction, guidance, and love? When has He left us with incomplete instructions on how to serve Him? When have we been naked and starving, and God only told us to go our way, be warmed, and be filled? We can read about that in James 2, 15 and 16. You know, this idea of not close or intimate, you know, without definitive or serious intention, careless or offhand, passing. Think about Luke chapter 22, verse 15. Jesus and the Last Supper he had with his disciples, and how he longed to be with them. Are we longing to come to worship God? Will you dare to lay down your life for a friend that you occasionally do things with? That you think of in passing? That, you know, when your cell phone accidentally calls them, you're like, oh yeah, I'd love to talk to them. Is that somebody that you're going to lay your life down for? Or are you going to lay down your life for someone you barely know? Romans 5, verse 7. Christ laid down His life for us, and it is our duty to get to know Him intimately so that we do not waste the greatest gift ever given to us. A passing knowledge of Christ is simply, or a superficial knowledge of Christ is simply not enough. You know, rarely does a group dive into dramatic change. Or a congregation. Rather, it is slowly brought on over time. You know, I've brought to mind several ideas that could lead us down the road of casual worship. Is our worship, or your worship, marked by irregular, infrequent attendance? The lounge chair worship mentality, the idea that worship is something rendered to you rather than to God? Do we show more respect to attend weddings and funerals than we do for our God? Is it marked with laziness? Is it marked with the desire to change practices without study? Is it superficial, skin-deep worship? Are we going to continue in casual worship where it's okay to mumble when we sing, fall asleep when we're talking to God in prayer and each other in song, not worship God by failing to sing or being actively engaged in the scripture reading or sermon? Are we going to be caught up in the heresy that this is our church and not Christ? It's an important thought. This is not our church. It's not our parents' church. It's Christ's church. Does God want our worship services to be casual? Something said that you will not see issue with that I painted in a poor light. So if I said something today and you're like, you know, I don't really understand why that could be an issue. Let's talk about it. It's very possible I misspoke, but it's also something that, you know, I'd love the opportunity to discuss with you. Proverbs talks about iron sharpening iron. And I think too many times when we hear something either from the pulpit or just in a Bible class, and we say, well, you know, that's what that person thinks. I think this thing. You've missed out on an opportunity for perhaps learning to occur. You know, perhaps one of you is wrong, perhaps both of you are right. But let's study through that so that iron can sharpen iron and that we can both continue down the road on the way to heaven. And I want us to think very seriously about our worship. I referenced the Old Testament about how it's our tutor, our guide to bring us to Christ. Think about something that's recorded there in Leviticus chapter 10, the first two verses. Nadab and Abihu brought a strange fire before the Lord. I mean, to me, fire's fire. But God had specified a very specific fire to be used in His worship service. Nadab and Abihu used a different fire in the sacrifice. And that fire grew and consumed them and killed them. And I bring that to the forefront of our memory just to think that this is not our worship services. This is the worship services for God. And we need to be thinking about whatever we do needs to be right in His sight. As always, I'd like to offer the opportunity, if you have not entered into your walk with Christ yet by being buried with Him in baptism, I want to make sure you know that that opportunity is available right now. It's always available. So long as there is water on this earth and breath in your lungs, that opportunity is available to you. And I urge you to take it. If you're ready to take that step, take it right now. But if it's 2 a.m, I urge you to take it right then when you realize that you need to make yourself right with God. Also, if you are struggling, you're a Christian, but you're struggling with something, or you want to make it known that you've repented from something that you've committed that is wrong, and you want to ask the saints here for help for you either to not fall into sin or not to fall into it again. That opportunity is available to you now, as it's always available to you, so long as your cell phone has a charge. Let it be known as we stand and as we sing.